I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Jack, what the f***?
It's your two favorite degenerates back with another Day One Dolphins podcast. Once again, hosted by your boy Ouch. Follow me on Twitter at YFinsYY. Here with me, my fellow lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, Chief Sutt. Throw him a follow on Twitter at Chief Sutt. Follow our podcast Twitter at Day One Dolphins. Stay up to date. Let's get down to it. What's going on, Sutt?
Mr. Ouch, I'm feeling confident, not cocky. That's about it.
That's very professional of you.
I mean, at this point, everyone's expecting us to just be like rubbing the scores in people's faces and rubbing the offense in people's faces. I don't even care to do that because as lifelong Dolphins fans, we didn't know it was going to be like this. We knew if we stayed healthy, it was going to be pretty good, but we didn't know it was going to be like this. So I'm not even going to try to rub it in nobody's face. I just want to win the games that I want to win. And let's get this home playoff berth and throw a tailgate, boys.
You know, I want to say, like, any teams that have been through the level of mediocrity that the Dolphins have been to aren't rooted against as heavily as the Dolphins seem to be. Like, I like the Lions, man. I like seeing the Lions do well. I love watching the Texans.
Coach Campbell? Love some Coach Campbell. Yeah. Love some CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. We love all that.
And if the Panthers were doing good and they're cooking with Bryce Young right now, I'd be rooting for them too. Like, it's just cool to see the landscape of the NFL change, the power dynamics and what teams are good and not. But man, people do not like seeing the Miami Dolphins play well. They don't. They're just waiting on it to fall apart shamelessly.
What do you think it is?
I think that the years and years and years of being the media's punching bag has built up this like level of animosity in Miami fans, and they're not forgetting. I'm not forgetting. You're not forgetting. Like, you know what it is. There's always these, like, you know, sports reporter boards that are filled up with New York fans and biased New England reporters and stuff that, you know, talk about how Miami's not a real sports town. It doesn't matter if you're talking about the Heat, are you talking about hockey, you're talking like, you know, they paint the picture like Miami's just not a sports town. It's a fake place where nobody shows up when the teams are bad. And I don't want to speak on other sports, but like the Dolphins, man, that's crazy. You drive around the entire state of Florida and it's just draped in Miami gear everywhere you go. Like, yeah, there are real fans and people have watched this team be middle of the pack for a really long time. You know, and now that they're good, they're loud and they're saying, ha ha. We're saying, ha ha, look how stupid you sound. Look how stupid you look. You were wrong. We can finally stand on business and say you were wrong.
Hey, I'm gonna be honest, man. I don't think you out here standing on business. So I'll have to approach you a little bit. Nah, but you're right. They hate to see us winning. But Kodak, they don't like to see you win.
They don't. And it's crazy. And so now it's really Miami versus everybody. It feels like, you know, like, yeah, rarely you'll get the thing. You know, you guys look good. Like, you'll get like an objective football fan, usually an older person who's been watching for years. Maybe they saw their team win already,
or the high end degenerates are starting to buy into us because they're making money.
Yeah, that too. They're gambling people and they're happy about it. But man, I want to start off by asking you this, though, now that we talked about our weekly bias, mm-hmm, playing the victim. But down 14-0 to start in the first quarter, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being absolute nuclear meltdown, traumatized, seeing war flashbacks, like that dog meme where it's just explosions and stuff going on in the background while you're traumatized, right? How would you feel about that, being down 14-0 on a scale of 1 to 10? How worried were you?
And being that nuclear warfare COVID dog meme, being down 14 zip to my boy Bryce Young and his 0-5 Panthers, I was at a solid 2.
Okay. So you were confident. You didn't lose any faith.
I mean, I believe you were there for the preview episode, the season preview. I just kind of had the feeling that we weren't going to take this game as serious. I didn't think the Panthers would be winless. And you said earlier, they're a pretty good 0-6 team. They're really not that bad. They're just missing a few key pieces and they could use a few more weapons. But Bryce looks like he's getting more and more comfortable every week. And he's a cool cucumber, man. He was a cool cucumber at Alabama. It was very Tua-esque of him. And they're kind of similar guys. So I like them. I'm wishing for them. You know, I hope they can get it together, but they were never a team that we were going to take too serious when the next game on the schedule's Tua's old backup and his little band of hooligans in Philadelphia. So it felt like a trap game going into it. I wouldn't have been nervous if we were down 28 zip.
Wow.
It's not a team that has the firepower to shoot with us, bro. We can put up points in a fast manner, in a barrage, if you will.
First quarter 28-0.
If it was first quarter 28-0, I would expect us to go full Golden State Warriors and just start hanging up points.
Adversity gives the opportunity to succeed and overcome. That's definitely what I'd be thinking in front of my TV and not, man, I'm so tired of this damn team, man.
But at that point, you just can't check the group text, because the group text is definitely having a meltdown at that point.
They
and it's
are,
only going to make you more mad.
They are the dog meme that I was talking about. It's just guns in the background, explosions.
Xavier Howard's washed.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Oh, man, we always do this. Now, I wasn't worried to be... I might have been more worried than a 2, but... Lions game last year, we were down 14-0. They're a much better offense. Bears game, we had a couple shaky moments last year. There's a couple of times that we've already seen that this team has consistently fought through that type of adversity. So it gives me a different level of confidence than I've ever had in the past. You know, I was saying in the group chat, imagine watching like Tannehill. And that regime of the Dolphins offense where Adam Gase or, you know, throw 30 screens a game or something like that. You go down 14-0 with that team and you know it's over. You know it's over. You're mad the whole time. And that's why I feel like a lot of fans are still like that, because that's what it was. You know, you don't know how to fan any other way than that. But I'll give it a 3. I was a little bit more worried than you. But 14-0 is the limit. 21-0, I'd start being real questionable about how confident I was in that game. But 14-0, I didn't lose faith. People were texting me, and I was like, yeah, okay, we'll see. I felt strongly enough to be able to still chirp back while we were down.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can respect it. And at the same time, I'm just as scarred from Ryan Tannehill, converted Texas A&M wide receiver. Like, I had to deal with that too. I had season tickets during the Jay Cutler era. I've seen and felt all of this. But you can't tell me that we all go into third downs with that same level of anxiety nowadays that we did back then. And I feel like Tua and McDaniel have earned our trust that we don't need to just be freaking out if it starts to get a little off schedule and it's getting a little bit weird. Like, for the most part, we went from a universe where every third down basically meant punt team get hot to like third down could be a touchdown, or at least like a chunk play, or at the very least we're gonna convert it more times than not. So I feel like anybody that's still on that, oh well, you know, we're the Dolphins, we're gonna melt down, you really just got to take 3 deep breaths and let that go, because that is not us no more. Every week we come on here, we point at 2-3 guys, we say you're not doing good enough, and then they come out and they shut us up. I don't know if a couple of our insiders are sending this up the ladder and they're listening directly. If so, Coach McDaniel, you're the man, and thank you. But I don't know, dude. There's no reason to really stress like that.
No, different team, and they deserve a different level of confidence. And as far as third down's concerned, I mean, come on. I don't know the exact numbers, but every single time there's a third and long, I think it's been more often a completion of 20 yards more or a touchdown on third down than it has been an incompletion on third down. Like, I see third down and Tua's out there and the ball gets snapped. My girlfriend knows too. She starts screaming, money down, money down. She knows the deal. She knows what's about to happen. It's crazy. But
shout outs to our graphics department.
Yeah. They're on point. Speaking of the graphics department, it looks like you had this labeled as a trap game, as I said in my preview. We could argue that was pretty correct. You had it at 21-28. You still had Miami winning it.
Hey, I got their score right.
Did they get 21? Yeah, they did. Okay, so you were halfway there.
Hey, bro, hey, we did a close point.
I had 17-38, so I knew that Miami was dropping big dog numbers.
But wow, so hold on a second. You mean to tell me on the Fetty Wap game, I called it as the trap queen?
Wow, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
We need a raise. Yeah. You'll get us some money, dude.
Yeah, that deserves a subscription.
Yeah, real stock. Wait, a subscription to what?
No, the viewers, they need to subscribe.
Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to get me sold on something. I got people trying to pitch me on starting an OnlyFans. And I was like, all right, well, it's going to catch people slipping.
It would be cool.
They're gonna go on expecting one thing, and it's just us breaking down film.
I was gonna say, you should start an OnlyFans and you should force all your high school kids to sign up for it and just be film breakdown.
I think I could get in trouble for asking high school kids to sign up for my OnlyFans. That just doesn't sound like a winning strategy.
I saw a news clip of a woman in Oregon do it the other day.
Yeah, was that on like Hoodville or something like that?
I don't know, but she's getting double that money.
Say the boys.
Let's go through real quick and just, you know, as much as I'd love to get, you know, intricate with the details and break down these games that were close and, you know, ones that we may have even lost and what went wrong, because a little bit more to talk about. You know, there's only so much you could talk about in something like this. This Giants game, that Denver game, you know, this Panthers game. They're rolling out the carpet, boy. We're coming home, but we'll start with the quarterback. Anything of noteworthy that you want to talk about Tua or maybe another quarterback?
Oh, I got nothing but high praises to say for Mr. Tagovailoa, but I'll talk about another quarterback that we got real quick.
I wish you would.
I mean, I think that's we brought your this alumni. Guy in. I don't know that guy. I'm pretty sure he threw the ball one time, maybe two times.
Yeah, two times.
Actually, no. He only threw it once. And the one time he threw it, it was intercepted.
Hey, he threw a touchdown, bro. One pass touchdown.
I'm talking about this Panthers game, bro. It's a worse team. So, like, bro. I understand we got the big nuts after our big time completion and it was really easy versus Denver, but it's not always that easy. I don't know. It would have just calmed my nerves if maybe he came in and I'm not even asking him to throw another touchdown. Just don't turn the ball over.
I mean, like, technically,
don't pull a Josh Allen out here. Yeah. Yeah. Not to us.
You know, the last time that he came in, it was one pass and he threw a touchdown. And then this game he came in and it was one pass. And he threw a touchdown for the other team. So he's consistent.
I can't argue that.
You know what you're going to get out of him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There's like Tua, he's literally in the argument for like actual MVP of the league. We've been screaming his praises for years. But Mike White, go ahead and give me some confidence that if you come in a pinch or like we just need you to close one out, you're not just going to throw. Six. that's not the vibes. Yeah,
kind of anything but that would have been cool.
Yeah, straight up, dude.
Throw it in the dirt. Throw it up in the air and then headbutt it across the field. I don't care. Just don't do what you did. Don't telegraph a late 4-yard pass that's arguably double covered or bracket covered. But
literally anything but that would be chill.
I can come on here every week and talk about how we told you Tua was a future MVP and how you don't value his skill set and how the know, narrative behind him is going to have you convinced that he can't do what he does, but we don't need to do that this week. I know y'all are tired of that. Just remember who was right and who was wrong. We're out here. The running back room is what I want to talk about, because there's no words. There are no words. I don't have enough that I can say about Raheem Mostert, who, mind you, was on offensive graded players. If we were to filter him by offensive graded players, the highest graded players on our team, I want to say he's number two, PFF wise, for Tyreek Hill being number one, Tua being number three. But Raheem Mostert, we've already kind of said this too, and I don't like to repeat myself, but the dude added 15 pounds in the offseason. We gave you the hype train leading up to it. Told you he was looking for more contact. Told you he heard all the rumblings in the offseason about Jonathan Taylor, Dalvin Cook, you know, all these running backs they might want to bring in. Then there was a Cam Akers. And there was, look at Raheem. He just surpassed Bo Jackson as the best running back when it pertains to average yards per carry, minimum 500 touches ever in the Super Bowl era. Ever. He's the number one in the league. Ever. He is a dog. He is not just a guy who is fitting in this offense around a bunch of high-powered guys. He is a featured role in this offense. If Tyreek were to break his leg tomorrow and Jaylen Waddle got another concussion, we would be featuring Raheem Mostert. He would be the guy that we trust to try and put the game on his back. No?
Absolutely, positively, no questions asked. Like, bro, you're talking about a dude that leads the league in touchdowns. He's got more touchdowns than multiple teams. We don't have to beat a dead horse. Everyone's seen the stats. We don't even got to brag about it, dude. But again, I thought I told you that we won't stop. We've been telling y'all all summer, spring, summer, fall, winter, Raheem Mostert is going to maintain his speed, and he's going to keep being a power back on top of it. And how many more games do you guys need to see it? Like, everyone knows, oh, if they stay healthy. Again, that's the only thing anyone can say to us up until this game that we have coming up this upcoming Sunday night, where, you know, that's a very big prove it game. But no matter which way that game goes score wise, as long as it's competitive, people really can't hang on anything besides keeping us healthy, because a healthy us looks like a freight train. I'm not going to say unstoppable, but really hard to beat if we don't beat ourselves and try to play a bunch of cute football. Seems like the staff's starting to cut back on a little bit of the cute football, at least defensively. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I was talking about that. We were watching All 22 before this, and you could see Vic Fangio doing a little bit less experimenting. You know, he has Van Ginkle lining up as a pure rusher now, you know, most of the time. I think, like, maybe with the exclusion of 12 snaps or something. And I get trying to keep them honest in some of these, like, exotic looks, but, you know, at some point you just got to get home with what you know is going to get home, you know. And this is like the fourth game of the year where when they rush five guys, they get Christian Wilkins gets to the quarterback in under 2 seconds. How many times do we got to see that before you start to go, maybe we should rush five guys? I was begging for him to rush send five the entire time versus Josh Allen. But we play a lot of, like I touched on the preview game, we play the most cover six in the game. We play an awful lot of cover three. You know, a lot of these guys are adjusting to it. He's experimented with who can play where. You know, we still see Jalen Phillips in pass coverage. We still see Bradley Chubb in pass coverage. You know, there's been, when we lose games or when we lost the Bills game and I see Bradley Chubb in pass coverage 14, 15 times, You know that's limiting the amount of opportunities he has to rush the passer, and it's going to affect what you read on the stat sheet. This game, a lot less. I think Fangio is getting a better feel for what he can expect out of his players.
Yeah, I mean, some players, they are who they are. In the same way McDaniel gets cute trying to experiment, Fangio, I don't think Fangio was as much being cute because he is new and feeling everyone out still. But I think he's starting to just realize this guy is what he is. I'm going to get what I get out of him, and let's just maximize that. And I think one thing he's starting to see, and based off the snaps, even with a healthy Jalen Phillips, he's getting more out of Van Ginkle. And Chubb, I think this was one of his better games overall, especially because he had his big aggressive sack that everybody wants to see. I want to see that. I am them people.
I got one taken off the board, thanks to Perry Nickerson.
What would you call him?
Perry Nickerson.
Country of origin. No, I'm just playing.
You be trying to set some people up with that one.
Bro, Tony said Trent Green is riding the line in this game. I'm like, oh yeah, you got to get Perry.
Yeah, but, man.
Nah, but take guys for what they are. Chubb is an edge rusher. Don't ask him to drop back into coverage a whole bunch. He had 28 pass rushes. He had 4 coverage snaps. Okay, cool. Now we're talking. Andrew Van Ginkle's a guy that doesn't lose containment as much, so keep him in on rundowns versus a guy like Jalen Phillips. Okay, well, Van Ginkle had 16 snaps against the run, 14 versus the rush, 11 in pass coverage. Perfect. Well, I guess I should say 14 where he pass rushed versus Jalen Phillips had 21 pass rushing. Okay, he's more of a pure pass rusher. I don't really want him out there on run defense. He only had 8 plays against the run versus Van Ginkle's 16, so half. And in pass coverage, Phillips can't really do that either. So he only had 1 play out there. So we're starting to see, okay, he knows. We're not going to ask Jerome Baker to blitz. He only pass rushed 4 times, but he can cover people. 25 plays versus the pass. That's the kind of stuff I've wanted to see. We're seeing the balanced guys are staying on the field nonstop, and the guys that are more one-sided, if you will, are only being forced to play their side versus the first couple of games. He was just asking dudes to do a whole bunch of stuff they just can't do, Nemo.
Yeah. I saw that meme you posted about Nemo Bread, and I loved it.
They out here looking for Dory.
By Nemo Bread.
Yeah, I love all of them.
I think it was worth mentioning what we talked about beforehand as far as the defense is concerned and the formations are concerned. That 3-4-4 look, or sorry, not the 3-4-4 look, the 3-3-5 look, being our most productive defensive look. Although they only stop the pass at 50% of the time in that look, overall, it's been the most successful, and it's worth pointing out that Emmanuel Ogba is on the field more than anyone. It's the two most seen players on defense out of that formation are Eli Apple and Emmanuel Ogba. Mind-blowing. And they're the ones that, like, I think that Emmanuel Ogba is better against the run. I think he's a slower than our other guys on the off the edge, mm-hmm. but he's better at getting inside a little bit and putting his body in the way of that run. Chuba Hubbard wasn't exactly bad, right?
No, I like Chuba overall. Some of our friends over at the Pro Football Pod Network, they're not fans of him and think he's a little overrated, but I think he's a pretty solid running back overall, and he could start over Miles Sanders pretty easily. I think when we were watching the All 22 earlier, the same thing we've noticed a few weeks in a row, or I guess the few weeks that Jalen Phillips has played, he has a really bad habit of losing containment against the run, and it's really easy to bounce outside on him. And I think teams scheme that, and when they see him, they'll almost even check to an outside zone run. And he's just so susceptible to biting inside, and with his speed, when he bites inside, those 2-3 steps he takes, he's really over pursuing, and it's way too late for him to make a play. Versus a guy like Ogba, his first 2 steps ain't really going that far. So even if he starts to over pursue, which he really doesn't have a habit of doing, but even if he did, he's not setting himself up for failure as bad as a guy like Jalen Phillips is. So I think Phillips almost needs to slow his game down and just keep upping the pass rushes. Any kind of pure pass rushing situation, I think he should always be in there, but Van Ginkle gets home more. So yeah. I don't know.
He does. I think Phillips is faster. I love him having him like being able to contain outside, but he's got to be more disciplined. But, you know, he's just coming back from the injury. Hopefully he gets back up to speed here. The rest of these guys are cooking. So, I mean, Chubb really had a better day than what this stat line says he did, in my opinion. And it says he was the best player on defense. So, Deshaun Hand played really well. That's somebody we've kind of been mentioning, but you don't really, I guess he doesn't get the flowers he's been deserving because of him being like that last rotational guy as a defensive tackle. But to come in behind Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer, and Raekwon Davis and make such an impact like that as a fourth guy, and he's kind of the only one that we have that can be in the Raekwon Davis role, you know? So he's not just like this like scrub backup guy. He's playing pretty good football. He ends up being the third highest ranked defensive player overall. David Long impressed me too. You know, he's not ranked anywhere near as high, and I think the first half of his game was stronger. But as far as the linebackers are concerned, David Long was oof. In that first quarter when we were kind of losing, mm-hmm. you know, he contributed highly to turning it around and not letting it go 21-0. He was flying through holes. He was making tackles outside. Even on tackles that he missed, you know, he was the reason that the player was slowed down and not able to cross the line of scrimmage for a gain. Love seeing him out there. I called him a more agile Landon Roberts. That's what he feels like.
Has he had an off game so far, in your opinion, or has he basically kind of been like this and just giving us more week over week, in your opinion?
I've been looking at it as a marriage between Baker and him and how well they complement one another. And in that Chargers game, you could see what was problematic about that. It was defending the run, and it was that, you know, David Long was shooting the gaps, and then it was left solely on Baker to make this last second decision with no hesitation, or else the running back gets 6 yards. And it was a lot of that. He'd get through, get a little pressure on the play, not get a touch on him, not be able to slow him down, and then leave Jerome back there to have to, you know, clean up the mess. And God forbid, you know, he whiffs completely, and then it's 100% on Deshaun Elliott or Javon Holland in the back at safety, which they're reliable, but they're not coming down and catching you. You know, they're not playing in the box close enough to be able to make a play behind the line of scrimmage most of the time. So it's still like you're giving up a big chunky run that's not good for your ability to stop them from getting down the field. But right. they are together. The chemistry between them two, they have gotten better week to week. I do think Jerome Baker got hurt this game. He had a back injury and he came out of the game. I'm hoping he's going to be okay, because that is not a position group that we can afford to lose anyone at. I guarantee you we see him get hurt and we immediately pull up Van Ginkle off the edge and force him to play a role that he hasn't been as successful at.
Yeah, that'll suck.
But other than that, defense, I mean, we talked about everybody except the corners. I mean, Eli Apple is going to get targeted a bunch. He doesn't play. He's not that bad. He's just the one getting picked on. You need a guy that is the one that's going to get picked on, and that's Eli Apple out there. If Jalen Ramsey was the opposite side of Xavien Howard and Xavien Howard was the one that was getting picked on, good God, pray for who the quarterback. There was a play where everyone thought immediately, or, you know, at least some people that we talked to thought, their immediate thoughts were, you know, Xavien Howard's washed. I thought to myself, wow, he's starting to grasp the scheme here. He came off of one receiver, jumped to the other one. It was Kader Kohou that got burnt, and, you know, X jumps in the air, gets a hand on the ball in the end zone, touches it, you know, maybe a half inch away from being able to pull that thing down with one hand or really flopping in the air where it's an incompletion. Mm-hmm. But credit to Adam Thielen, he catches a ball that's been tipped and, you know, altered the path in which this ball is going, and he still caught it, which you don't see that often. But it was one of those plays that was so close, and was they played it really well. Our defense played it really well, and you just look at it and go, huh, that's not going to happen for 60 minutes. That was a good play, you know, on both sides, but that ain't happening for the entire game. That's what I took away from it. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's not going to stick. And I think the way that they go about it is you're not going to get away with doing one thing over and over again on us at all. And if it is going to be one thing, it's not going to be anything that's game breaking on us. I don't know, bro. at this point, I'm kind of over even analyzing. I want to get through this Philly game. I want to get through the next like 2-3 weeks and see how we look with Jalen Ramsey. Because for all my money, this defense could just completely shift when he comes in. We could start seeing him at strong safety, free safety, slot corner, boundary corner. Anything could kind of happen. So I can continue to love my linebackers while they're healthy. I think Jerome will be fine. After him, it'll be probably Duke Riley more than anything. I don't think they would bump Van Ginkle back inside because that was a failed experiment. But you don't have to with Duke. And again, if Ramsey comes back, we'll just run a bunch of 4-2-5 and 3-3-5 with the two inside guys and a pass rusher, or just one inside guy, aka David Long, over and over again because he can handle it. So I'm just so fired up, dude. Yes. I'm ready for the future. I don't know. We're a full third of the way through the season. If you want to look at it, technically there's 17 games. A third would be 6 out of 18, close enough. So 33% of the way through, we're 5-1. We have the top ranked offense, I believe, still.
Oh yeah.
The defense that we've been complaining about every single week continues to get better and apparently is statistically not that bad, even though we're mad at it. But I don't know, man.
All right, one thing you want to get better. One thing you want to see better. That's it. Just one small thing that you can take away. It's hard to when you have all these wins under your belt, but you know we're about to play some tougher competition. So one thing going into this next game that you think like we need to clean up, what would it be?
At this point, it's pretty much only run defense. I feel like we're pretty stout against the pass. But basically, anybody running the ball has a pretty good day against us. Maybe it's the only thing that we're going to be willing to give up. And since we have such a lead all the time, we're definitely willing to give it up. What are you going to do? Run the clock out? You're down 21-35, however many points. So that's not a winning strat. But if there's anything to clean up, it would be that. We run the ball well. We pass the ball well. We stop the pass. I don't even really hate our special teams like that. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely am not a fan of the special teams based on their ranking. But luckily, we don't have to see them that often. And I do want to shout out how comforting, knock on wood, I feel greater watching Braxton Berrios catch those punts and kickoffs than I've ever felt watching a player return a ball, ever. Ever.
Such soft hands, dude. So dude, soft.
He's catching it. And at this point, I've seen more muffs across the board from multiple players on multiple different Dolphins teams in the past 10 years than I've seen out of him in his entire career. Ever. I mean, it's just
agreed.
Remarkable. But the one thing that I want to shore up is our inability to convert on third and short. 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, 4th and 1, you know, whatever, small distances.
That is where we like to get cute. When we were talking about trying to play too cute on offense, we're still experimenting and getting real cute there. I agree.
100%. And, you know, the line's moving people. Obviously, in pass protection, they're getting moved around a little bit. There's not a lot of pressures getting let up, especially not this game. Even, you know, I would be remiss not to talk about this, but God bless what I'm about to say. Liam Eichenberg had a great game. Austin Jackson had an elite game. Liam Eichenberg had a great game and Austin Jackson had an elite game. I can't, like, I don't know what to say. I can't believe it, but Austin Jackson has been on fire. Liam Eichenberg has been serviceable. That combination right there is unheard of and will get very far if that continues to be the case. Liam was getting moved around a little bit, but I'm willing to cut this guy a little slack. You know, he's playing center and he's not used to playing center. But when it comes to the 3rd and 1 or the 4th and 1, these short distances, I wanted to see more Chris Brooks. Hopefully, you know, that fifth string running back, he had a great little highlight play, and then he had an ankle injury. He got carted off. I hope he's okay, but he's a big body runner that I trust in those situations. Kind of trust Raheem a little bit more this year than I did last year based on what he's been doing. You know he's going to level the first guy, and he's doing really, really well as far as yards after contact. Then also, you know, Jeff Wilson should be practicing this week, and I expect him to be ready for the Philly game. I thought there was a chance he played this past game, but no. And he is a little bit more violent. He likes contact. I would be more comfortable using him. I'm tired of scheming up these weird little trick plays because you're not confident in your team's ability to convert those small chain movers right there. Those are important. You know, I love that we are almost never in that situation, but you're looking like the rest of the league's trying to recreate this brotherly shove or tush push or whatever you want to call it that the Eagles do, but we need something like that. I don't care if it's a QB sneak. I don't care if it's a wildcat play. I just want something that works at least 6 out of 10 times to convert those, and then I think we'll be okay versus teams like the Eagles.
I think the reason we're getting cute with it, though, is because we're trying to figure out what exactly that play is, you know? And, like, since we don't know what it is, we don't know what works and what doesn't. They're trying everything under the sun. That way, when they do have the play, they know it's the play, and there's no more getting cute with it. But I agree. Some of the stuff we run is just weird, and maybe it's innovation. Maybe it's us trying to do some things that have never been done before. But yeah, there's no need to get cute. Now that Brooks is kind of out, whether he's out or not, maybe start to scheme up something for Ingold, which we've kind of tried before. Maybe something with Julian Hill, or just use the speed guys. Like, run some mesh. Make them just run drags across each other, and there's no way you're going to guard both of them running drags. You might have to, you know, cut the splits and make it quick, but I don't know. There's 1,000 things we could do. I think they'll get it dialed in. We'll be all right, though.
Yeah, I mean, run it down their throat. We deserve that. It doesn't have to be all the time, but you're a physical team. Your run game is number one in the league right now. And although it's a lot of finesse and a lot of speed and a lot of broken tackles and a lot of trickery or, you know, scheme that they have to be so scared of the pass that it allows for that. But every once in a while, you got to just be like, you know it's coming. They know it's coming. Do it anyway. Let's see it. And I think that's the final missing piece to this offense to be damn near unstoppable, right?
Let's see what you got.
But other than that, we'll be back here a couple days, talk about this Eagles game. Boy, what a matchup. I don't want to talk too much about it right now, but we'll try to get Sutton here. If not, I'll run it solo. Maybe we'll have a special guest on. But just for the record, Sutt's got it as a win. I got it as a loss. Should be a close one.
I'm not shaking either. I'm not shaking. I'm sticking with it as a win, whether I'm here or not. We're winning that game. We're going to Philly. We're giving them that smoke.
There is no change.
No Philly fan.
Or else I would have changed it to a win. But I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, we're outside.
Make sure you follow me on Twitter at YFinsYY. Follow Sutt at Chief Sutt. Follow the podcast Twitter at Day1Dolphins. And until next episode, fins up and Sutt.
Eagles for the win. Back to back at the crib.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team.